Blog Talk Radio.
It's what you've been waiting for. It's what you've been waiting for. Yeah, I know we faded, but I know your heart ain't nothing to play with. You just gotta trust me, promise I won't break it. All I wanna do is make sure that you get your vibe and your body satisfied. Girl, we got all night, yes we do.
You ready?
It's what you've been waiting for. Yeah, it's what you've been waiting for.
Yes, yes, yes. Welcome, everybody. This is Alicia Monet, Divine Inspiration, on Married to Change Radio. Happy Sunday, everybody. We are in May, and it feels really, really good. I hope you all had a wonderful week. I had a pretty insightful week, and I'm just so excited to be here with you all this evening. If this is your first time listening, thank you so much for tuning in. This is going to be a really, really insightful show. It's going to be really good. I hope that you receive everything that you came here for and even more. Yes, I do. And for those of you who are regular listeners, welcome back. How you doing? I hope you all are doing well. I'm doing well. I missed you guys so very much. But before we get knee deep into this show, we all need to stop what we're doing and take three nice, long, resetting, delicious breath. So we're all going to inhale for four, we're going to hold for six, and we're going to release for seven. Okay? So let's go. Everybody inhale. Inhale. Last time, everybody, inhale. Yes, yes, yes. Let's give thanks. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Divine Father and Mother, for your love and for your grace and just for the way everything is designed to where we magnetize that which we desire what's inside of us to us. That is just the most brilliant thing ever. I'm so excited about that. It's really good to know that I have the power to manifest anything that I desire with the power of my mind, and through disciplining my mind and through focusing, I can have anything that I desire, anything that I believe I can have, I can have. And that is so amazing. Like, this whole existence, my whole life depends upon my faith, depends upon how much I believe in myself and believe that I deserve that which I desire, and have the, and I'm able to have the ability to freely and without fear desire whatever it is that I want without any guilt, shame, or fear. That feels really good, and I'm so very thankful for that. Ashe. Ancestors, I thank you. I love you. I appreciate you. I thank you so much for your patience with me. I thank you so much for your guidance and for your direction and for always being there no matter what. Ashe. Warrior Empress, love, love, love. I am love. You are love. I love you. I love me. I love me just the way that I am right now. I love me right where I'm at this moment. I love me now. I love me then. I love me later. I just love, love, love me. Thank you so very much. I appreciate myself, and I'm just very thankful. Guides, 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 thank you. I appreciate you. I love you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Ashe, angels, 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 angels. I am so appreciative of all of the messages that you send me throughout my day, all of the signs and synchronicities, all of the help and the assistance that you provide that we just overlook. A lot of us, we overlook, even myself, I overlook sometimes getting caught up in the day-to-day. I just appreciate you for helping me to stop where I'm at and to appreciate the moment and to be in the moment, to live in the moment, to breathe in the moment, to exist in the moment. Ashe, appreciate you. Yes, spiritual mothers and fathers, thank you so very much. I love you and I appreciate you. It is my hope, my prayer, my wish that everybody listening to this broadcast and who listens, whether they're live or whether they listen later, that they all receive the information that they need, the love, the frequency, the vibration that they need in order to break up the matter in their body, to break up the blockages and give us all the courage to be able to face ourselves, to face the uglies, to face the darkness, to face those things which are unpleasant, to face the programming, to face the habits, to face everything that there is inside of us that's preventing us from reaching our full potential and truly thriving. I ask and I am thankful for the fact that through this broadcast, we're able to dissect those things and to break up those blockages, to dissolve those blockages in order so that we can live the most abundant life, the most heartfelt and heart-living life, so where we can be true to our authentic selves and no longer fear any backlash from anybody else, no longer fear our greatness, no longer fear rejection, no longer fear abandonment, no longer fear all of the little fears that have caused these blockages to begin with. I am so very thankful. I know that right now we are working on working in a time where all of the dimensions that we live in, all of the times of past that we've lived in, are now coming to a culmination, to a head, to where we have the energy, we have the ability to totally resolve everything from all of these lifetimes and this one lifetime. And I'm very thankful for that. And it is my hope, my wish, and my prayer that we all take advantage of this time period and truly regenerate ourselves and truly rebirth ourselves and truly live life of true divinity and no longer hold ourselves back. I'm truly appreciative for this, and I just give thanks because I know that it's already done, and gratitude to watch the way that this unfolds not only in my life but in the life of all those that are listening and that are participating. I give thanks, and I'm so very thankful for that. Ashe, ashe, ashe. Amazing. Yes, yes, yes. Welcome, everybody. This is Alicia Monet, Divine Inspiration in the Flesh on Married to Change Radio. I'm so excited to be here with you tonight. I'm so inspired about this show. I'm so just excited about this information that's going to be given tonight because I've been on a journey of healing. I don't know. I assume that the people I come in contact with are on the same journey. We're all trying to heal. We're all trying to resolve things. And even if we're not trying to heal, and even if we're not trying to resolve things, we all have the same heart and mind to have the ease with the life. Some people do like to suffer, but some people don't want to suffer anymore. Some people don't want any roadblocks, or they don't want to have an upward battle. We want ease with our life. We want to live in harmony. We want peace. We want pleasure. We want joy. We want happiness. We want love. We want abundance. We want to live a blissful life. And in that regard, we all can relate on that level at least. And so with that, in order to have that blissful life, in order to overcome a lot of the obstacles that are in our path, we have to clear out. And this is what I've been dealing with, what I've been going through. It's a process. And I've been slowing myself down and working so diligently over since 2004, a long time coming, to cleanse myself, to heal my mind, my body, and my soul, and to accept myself where I'm at right now. A lot of times we are our worst critics. I am guilty of that. I have been my own worst critic. I have been very hard on myself in the past. And so I have been working very diligently on being my greatest fan, on being loving to myself, on being gentle to myself, because there are times when I can truly punish myself. I can be very disrespectful to myself. I can be very hurtful to myself. And I am totally done with that. I don't want that anymore. I don't like it anymore. I just choose to live the life that I desire, the life that I am worthy of, the life that I deserve. And that is a life of abundance, of bliss, of happiness, of clarity in speech, of understanding, of compassion, of just rule, of righteousness, of friendship, of abundance, of pleasure, of beauty. And so in order for me to be able to do those things, in order to live that life, which all it takes is a change in the mind frame, it just takes a shift in the mind and in my behavior in order for this to happen. Now, that sounds really good in theory. It's just really simple. All you got to do is just change your mind about it, and then it's done. It sounds simple, and it can be. It is. It really is. For me personally, it has been challenging because these thoughts, this mind frame that I have, I grew up with it being shaped and it being molded. I grew up with receiving a lot of programming, a lot of things that just weren't me. And so now having to undo all of that, it takes me using discernment. What characteristics are truly mine versus which characteristics were programmed into me? What characteristics are healthy and that I need, and which ones don't I need anymore? What is it that I'm supposed to keep, and what is it that I'm supposed to release? Now, one thing I know for sure is that in order for me to get to the other side of the rainbow, where the pot of gold is, where I really want to be in the sweet spot, where I'm magnetizing all of my desires, is I have to release the blockages. I have to identify where these blockages are. Where am I sabotaging myself? Where am I holding myself back? Where am I denying myself of the very life that I say that I desire? How am I getting in my own way? I have to be able to acknowledge that. I have to be able to dive into that. I have to be able to examine that. I have to be able to do something with that, whether I'm going to transmute that, whether I'm going to integrate that, whether I'm going to dissolve it. Something must be done with those things in order for me to truly be able to maintain the things that I manifest. Easy to manifest. We are created to manifest whatever we focus on, whether it be positive and things that we desire and that we like, or whether it's things that cause us pain and things that we don't like and things that are challenging for us. Either way, we're constantly magnetizing things to us and manifesting things to us. So even if we manifest good things to us and beautiful things to us, we still have to maintain those things. A lot of times, for myself and others that I talk to, we can manifest beautiful things, opportunities and situations and circumstances that are exactly what we wanted, and it's so great. But then we destroy it. We ruin it. We ruin it, we sabotage it, we destroy it because of certain things in our subconscious mind that continues to block those things from being successful or for playing out in harmony. For, you know, we prevent those things from happening. So it is my goal to remove all obstacles, all right? Calling on the energy of Ganesha to remove all obstacles within my body, within my being, within my psyche, within my spirit, within my soul, in order that I may truly ascend and live a blissful existence. That's what I want to do. I just want to be happy. I just want to be in a state of bliss. I want to create a beautiful existence. I want to spread beauty and joy. I emit love, peace, healing, and restoration. I want us all to live in harmony and peace and joy and beauty. And if other people don't want to live in harmony and peace, that's fine. I want to, though. I want to have a beautiful experience here on Earth. So I have to dig deep within myself, and I have to use the tools given to me in order to remove these blockages. It's just like with water, right? Water flows freely, everything's all good, but then when you get a blockage and the water begins to pile up and pile up and pile up, all that pressure then causes destruction. Not only is the water not flowing to where it needs to go in order for life to be given to all of the vegetation around, but that hold of that blockage can only hold for so long before there is an eruption. And that eruption may manifest as discord in your life, you know. So I want to eliminate the discord in my life. I want to be true to myself. I want to be honest with myself, and I want to remove these blockages so that I can just have free-flowing water and all of the vegetation around get its proper water and get its proper attention, affection, and love so that everything can grow beautifully. So I figured I cannot be the only one. I am not the only one. So because I'm not the only one, it's only right and natural for me to come on the show and to share this with you all so that we can all rise and elevate together, because we are a universal family. We are truly all one. The divine spark within me is the same divine spark within you. Yes, we are different expressions of that same divine spark, but truly and wholly, we are one family. So because I love myself, I love you. And because I love us, it's only right that I share this information with you all so that we can all elevate and rise together. And I'm really excited about this because I know so many beautiful beings who have so much good stuff inside of them and so much good going for them. And then they sabotage or they have mental blockages that tell them, I'm not good enough. Oh, I'm going to get that far and then I'm going to mess up. You know, I experienced this. I can speak from experience. I can think, well, when it comes to friendships, I have a history of getting close to people, opening up to them, sharing everything, attaching myself to them. I do. I attach myself to them, and then I feel like I get abandoned by them. I get betrayed by them. There's something that happens that dissolves the relationship, and it's very painful to me, and it makes me distrustful of people, of letting people in. But what I didn't realize was that I had abandonment issues. And so I wasn't being a true friend. I was clinging on to people for dear life because I didn't want to be alone. I didn't want to be abandoned, and I just wanted to be loved. So I overcompensated, and I just poured my love and affection onto people, smothering them, almost like, why are you being so nice? Why are you being so kind? And it's like, I need a break. You know, you're just being too much. You're doing too much. And it's like, well, now I'm too much for everybody. I just got to dim myself. And it was just all this drama over a simple, basic fear of abandonment, a fear of not being lovable and not being loved, a desire to be loved, and stuff like this. This has nothing to do with what I was imagining in my mind. All of this betrayal, all of this stuff, it only happened that way to help me to wake up and realize what was really going on. So, but, not even but, scratch the but. In addition to that, sometimes we don't know what's blocking us. We don't even realize we have blockages. Like, I swear, sometimes I feel like I am all good. Life is grand. I know what I'm doing. Everything is bliss. I'm good. Even when there are troubled times, you know, and then I'll act out of the character that I'm desiring to live in. I'm acting less than divine. And I'm like, oh, God, like, where is this coming from or why is this happening? Sometimes I'm completely oblivious to it. Sometimes I go about my day and there might be an opportunity that comes my way that I'm not prepared for or that I'm over-prepared for or prepared for, and then I still mess some kind of way. I, like, miss the deadline for a big opportunity that I know I could have got because I know I'm totally out to do this. And then I miss the deadline on purpose because I procrastinated because I had a fear that I was going to get rejected in the first place. But I didn't know that until I, weeks later, in retrospect, I'm like, well, I could have did that. Dang, I missed that. Oh, well, you know, maybe just wasn't meant to be. No, maybe you sabotaged that. Maybe that was the universe saying, here, honey, I know that you want to get into this. So here's an opportunity. Here's a deadline. Make a video. It's no big deal. You got this. And then I'm like, no, I'm just going to wait. I'll wait. I'll wait. And then I'll wait too late. And then it doesn't happen because of a fear of rejection, a fear of not being enough, a fear of whatever the fear I have. So I've experienced that. And I didn't know that I was doing it. I didn't know that, you know, a part of this procrastination thing was a fear of rejection or fear of failure or fear of success, all these different fears that I didn't realize that I had. But even acknowledging those fears, how do we dissolve them? How do we remove the blockages? You know, how do we get past those things? You know, another one for me is communication. Yeah, all right, yeah. You guys are like, communication, Alicia? Yeah, right. You're a great communicator. You communicate very well. I communicate very well via radio, via via messages. Like I can spit off a whole message on an answer machine or record it. I can write my thoughts and communicate clearly that way. But when it comes to face-to-face communication with people, even communicating something so simple as, I know that I said that I would be able to do this then, but I'm unable, I need a little more time, that brings me anxiety. Communicating with somebody, let's say we have joint bills together. Okay, this bill is due on this day. That is difficult. That I get anxiety from that. Like, communication in close quarters causes anxiety in me. That's a blockage. There's a blockage somewhere from that. It could be from a past life because I've always been an entertainer. I've always been, I don't have a fear of public speaking. I can speak in front of thousands of people. It's no big deal. But one-on-one, I'm just like jello. I'm like, okay, wait, hold on. I don't know why I use jello. I guess jiggly? I don't know. That was just weird. But I freeze up. I get anxious. I have a something that I'm working through. I'm still working through it. And so, again, I know I'm not the only one with blockages, and your blockages are unique to you. So I need tools. I need to know how do we go about dealing with this. And so that's what tonight's show is all about, and I'm really excited about it. So before we get knee-deep into the show, we're going to take a quick break, enjoy this tune, and when we come back, I'll introduce you to my very special guest who will give us the step-by-steps on how to remove these blockages. All right. This is Alicia Monet, Divine Inspiration on Marriage to Change Radio. The number to dial in is 516-590-0975. Press the number 1 if you'd like to speak, ask a question, share an experience, or anything like that. We'll be right back after this break. Monet, Divine Inspiration on Marriage to Change Radio. Now, without ado, I'd like to introduce my guest to the show. He's been a guest on the show before, and he is just a lovely being. This individual was my meditation coach. He helped me out so much. You have no idea. I'm always recommending people to his meditation courses, and he's just all around wonderful. I really appreciate his insight and the work that he's doing to help people to heal their heart chakra so that we can truly release the pain of the inner child to live life as adults. We can move forward. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome everybody. Please help me welcome Honors England. Honors, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Alicia. What's good? What's up? What's up? I'm here.
Oh, thank you for coming on. I appreciate you so much. Jay, I had to bring you on. Jay Honors, same thing for everybody because I just called him Jay. But it's interchangeable. Yeah. You can use Honors or Jay. So I brought you on the show because I feel like you have shown me and so many people, you've guided us very well on how to heal the inner child and how to remove and identify blockages. And so I wanted to bring you on so that you can inform our guests on how we're supposed to go about even identifying blockages, and then once you identify them, how do we remove them so that we can live a peaceful life?
Okay. So the first thing is that you should be clear on what a blockage is. That's something that, you know, in our world we talk about a lot, but people may not be exactly clear on what that is. So blockages manifest themselves in a number of ways. In the physical body, they manifest themselves as tension, right? So soreness and tension. In the emotional self, they manifest themselves in the form of really a dwelling on negative emotions, right? So if you find yourself angry a lot or sad a lot, or you know, if you held on to particular emotions for it, those are really clear signs of blockages. In the mental world, blockages manifest themselves in terms of what we call limiting beliefs, which is really usually the root of the blockage, and then negative self-talk, right? So negative self-talk is one of those things that holds the blockages in place, really. So all of those things are a part of your, all those layers are a part of your kind of energetic self. And the work that we do is to try to get into each level and make sure that it's running as efficiently as possible energetically, and that you're living from a place of peace, joy, balance, love, that sort of stuff. Now, what causes blockages in the end is the mind, really, right? So I'll say that to say this. Everybody goes through challenges. Everybody goes through pleasure. Everybody goes through pain. You have plenty of times where you've experienced pleasure. You have plenty of times where you've experienced pain. But the reason why it becomes an issue is because your mind holds that moment and says, first of all, this should not have happened. Also, this was probably most likely is this was a threat to me, right? That's one of the most common ones. This was a threat to me. So it puts you in a fight or flight state. So from there, it becomes a situation where you divide the moment into good or bad, and then eventually it becomes this thing where you hold on to the moment in such a way that you're going to have to eventually revisit it and relive the experience. And this is kind of where they, when they get into the concept of karma, this is kind of what they're alluding to. But let's say you experience a situation like you're walking up the steps and you stub your toe, right? If you stub your toe, there's no issue afterwards. It's just you stub your toe. The pain comes, the pain goes. There's no big deal. But let's say you are dealing with a person and you speak to this person and the person says something to you, and you might experience the exact same type of pain as stubbing your toe. But now all of a sudden, this person should not have said this to me. This person disrespected me. I'm going to tell this person off. People are not going to do this to me in the future. And so you start to create this story, this mental story, and that becomes the encasing in which the blockage or that energy that's undigested from that moment really stores in your energy body. And then from there, if you don't let it go, it grows. It opens you up kind of to more negative energy, and it shuts down the light in your life. So that's a basic rundown of what a blockage is.
So with that being said, how do we remove these blockages? Are they all different for each level, or like the emotional one, the physical one, the mental one, or is it all the same?
They're different. They're different. Like, for instance, for a physical blockage, you can remove it by just getting a massage, or you can remove it by just doing dance, or you can remove it by just doing yoga. But usually physical blockages, for the most part, are just the surface layer. And so, in other words, if it's made it down to the physical level, if it's become solid, that means it's probably an emotional element and a mental element to it. So blockages, for the most part, as you get into this type of work, they are like, many ways they're like branches, you know? Like, you'll find, let's say we do work on a person's heart chakra, which you mentioned before, I do a lot of heart work, and a person has a fear. And that fear they experience in their heart, but you'll find that once you clear it out the heart, now the fear drops down and they experience it in the second chakra, right? And so now in their pelvic area, they feel the same energy, or they feel a variation of it. And it's partially because it's rooted in these deeper base chakras or whatever. So it's almost like a tree in a lot of ways. A lot of the blockages, they have layers, are almost like a pancake. So you can clear one layer. If you know, if you get a massage, you're tense, you argue with a person, you get a massage, you might feel good for a couple of days, but next week it'll be back because it's in the mind, because it's in the emotional self. You see what I'm saying? So you have to clear out of those layers, out of all the layers, and then it doesn't matter how much you go through that issue with the person. As long as you're not holding on to that moment and you're not storing it, you know, the storage aspect is almost like you're, you know, you can visit a bunch of stuff on your computer on the internet, but, you know, the minute you start to save and download stuff, your computer gets heavier and slower and slower and slower. And that's very much how blockages operate. They make your, they make it harder for you to process the moment. They make it harder for you to run efficiently.
Interesting. So then we got the physical. So then how do we release it from the mental and the emotional?
Okay. So emotional blockages are a little tricky. The emotional layer is really a big deal, especially if you are trying to do intense spiritual work. The emotional layer is going to block you from getting anywhere above the heart if you really have a lot of emotional blockages. So one of the things that we do on a physical level with the emotions, or should I say on a diet level, is we recommend people drink only water for an extended period of time, right? And the reason why we do that is because sugar really wreaks havoc on your emotional self. And not only that, water, you're mainly water. You came through this, through your mother, essentially in water, and we're created out of water. So to go back to that, and we also recommend people start to take baths and stuff like that, right? That's like rose quartz baths. But all those things help to reset you back to your normal state. In other words, we're introducing fresh water. There's old stagnant water inside of you, and we want to get that out. So that's one way. Another way is that we start teaching people how to not live from their emotions, but instead to live from sensations, right? So, in other words, emotions are reactions, typically, to experiences. But the experience itself is not an emotional experience. It's simply an experience, right? And so if you could just live it and just experience it as it is, there would not necessarily be this lingering residue, what we call stress, where it's like, you know, we had a conversation, that's cool, but I have a lingering anger 20 days later, right? That's this emotional reaction to the experience. The experience itself was just an experience. It may have been intense. It may have, at a certain level, rocked you. You know, you may have felt the heat within your chest. You might have felt the stinging within your stomach. All of that is fine. If you can just stay there with the sensations as they are, you don't necessarily have to go into the emotional part. So in other words, you don't save the file. You don't download it into your emotional self for it to become a blockage, because you've processed the moment fully. For emotions, is that you process from sensation rather than reaction, right? So that you process and then you respond rather than react, right? So when we say respond, that means, like, let's say a person did something that you didn't like. Instead of operating from a pre-programmed, triggered space, you are able to kind of breathe through it and give a response that is out of peace, out of wisdom, rather than out of, like, just fire, pain, fight, flight, that sort of thing. That the emotional aspect is really deep, right? So right now I'm just dealing with how to process it in the moment. But when we deal with the heart chakra and we go deeper, emotions, of course, stem all the way back to the inner child, right? So a lot of the root problems that we have are stuff that happened when we were very young. One of the things I'm experiencing right now, particularly, there are a number of things that really wreak havoc on the entire chakra system. Molestation is one of them, as well as people not having one of their parents. Those are two things I'm dealing with right now. So I'm working with a lot of people that it's just like when those things happen, it takes 6 months to a year of working on a particular chakra or something to start to clear, to get that stuff to come all the way out. We can get to the surface of it. We can clear parts of it, but it's like it's buried so deep that, you know, it just takes a while for a person to really start to reintegrate and come back whole, dealing with those layers. But opening the heart is the key. When you open the heart, you'll start to see people crying out the blue for a week at a time, you know, tears of pain that they should have cried for years. You know, they're stashed inside of you that you haven't cried. And the more you let them out eventually, I do say eventually because it could be a while, they'll turn into tears of joy. That it'll turn into fresh water. It will turn into you returning back to that inner child, and you'll regain your innocence because it's still there. It's just kind of covered in dust, what we call blockages, stuff like that. For the mental self, to get the mental right, part of the key is really reaching a space of inner silence, right? So we recommend inner silence. And the reason why is because the mind is always talking, and typically the mind is a problem solver. So it's trying to solve problems, and if there is no problem, it will create a problem. Right, so we try to quiet the mind through meditation as often as we can, and then when the mind is flowing, we try to make sure it's not rigid, right? So if you have something, let's say you have an idea, something that you believe in, a concept that you see the world from, you know, religion gets you in trouble in a lot of ways like this because it's like this is the only way. But nature doesn't work like that. Nature works in this kind of yin-yang, masculine, feminine, flowy, harmonic way. And so if you hold yourself in one direction mentally, you're basically going to attract situations that teach you the other side of that story, right? Uh-huh. So that basically creates, you created this is literally you creating a karma because you're a whole, the only thing that people are good for is this, this, and this. Well, that's not true. And so now you're going to have to wait until, you know, you drug yourself through all this pain and suffering until you understand the other side of that story, and then you can let go of that limiting belief. So limiting beliefs are really the root problem. Out of all of these, they're the biggest problem, even though they're the most subtle in a way, and sometimes they're hard to uncover because they're stuff that we repeat to ourselves over and over again and things that we established when we were like a lot of times in our teens or when we're younger. But they are the key problem. And when you do energy healing sessions, we can clear all kinds of stuff. People will be laughing, crying, going to orgasmic state, all that stuff. But at the end of the day, that's just like me cleaning somebody's room, and then we leave for a week. You come back, their room is back junky because the limiting belief that they don't need to have responsibility for their space is still there. So you have to clear the limiting beliefs and the negative self-talk at the end of the day. Once you get rid of those, because the mind is directing all of the energy, it's like the mouse of your computer. So even if you clean up the desktop, even if you delete everything, this mouse starts going crazy, it'll be right back and it'll be a mess. So you got to teach the person how to operate the mind in such a way that it doesn't create blockages. And that is the key. Once you get all those layers together, you'll see a person being able to live in a place of balance, joy, peace, and really just be a light to the world if they're in the right space.
So, okay, where do the past life traumas or past life blockages come into play in this?
That's
because
a good question.
These are not things that happen now. These are things that happened in the past. So how do we even identify those?
That's a good question. I do past life regression, and always what I experience, I'll say 80 to 90% of the stuff that comes up in the past life manifests itself in some form in this life, right? So I almost wouldn't even recommend people. What'd you say?
You said 80% of the stuff from the past life manifests in this life?
80% of the major blockages, yes. Right, so if you had a major, let's say you had, let's say we do a past life right now, and you have a major blockage, and your major blockages are loneliness, which is a really common one, and let's say, grief. In this life, it's an 80% chance you're going to be dealing with those issues still, right? That's what I'm trying to say. So you can go to the past life to get a new understanding of it, and to get a new inspiration as to why you should deal with it. But for the most part, a lot of the stuff that's going on in the past life is already going on in this life. That's what I find as I do past life regression. It's not something where once you go there, there's all new issues that the person can't recognize. They have no idea, and they're like, I don't know what the hell this is. It's typically bleeding over, and it's bleeding over in a way that's very easy to see for the person. The person is very rarely, because I ask people in past life regression, like, so how did this previous life, how did the blockages in this previous life manifest themselves in this life? And they, every single time, rattle off without any effort how it connects, right, directly how it connects. Mm-hmm. So they're usually buried underneath. So if we're talking about a pancake, right, we go, you know, adult life, inner teenager, right, inner child, mm-hmm. and then underneath that is the past life stuff, right? So once you clear that inner child stuff, the past life stuff can finally come to the surface. Sometimes that comes up through meditation or random stuff, or maybe an energy healing session, but a lot of that stuff is stored in what we'll say is even a deeper layer than the normal mental body, right? So in yoga, they kind of describe it in terms of body, like the physical body, the emotional body, the mental body, and then they have this kind of other layers like the wisdom body and the bliss body, and a lot of those deeper things are stored in those layers where they're unconscious to you. You're not usually conscious of your bliss self, so you're not really conscious of those layers and how you're blocked at those levels. But once you get that stuff out the way, it opens up that wisdom layer, that greater intuition, that bliss layer, that greater connection to source.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. So then my question is, so if 80% of our past life blockages come in this life and are with us in this life, does it even matter if we're cleaning up the blockages that we have in this lifetime? Does it even matter to even go back to a past life and see what's in there if we're already clearing 80% of it now?
I do past life regression, right? So I'm not a mm-hmm. person that's anti-past life, but I'm not of the opinion that you need to do a past life regression to clear your blockages at all. I think it's an interesting tool. It's almost like an extra credit tool to me. Like, it's interesting. Mm-hmm. It's cool. It can provide some inspiration, but it's just not a requirement. I mean, you literally can just use the same tool that you use to dig into your inner child work and just keep going. You can just keep doing, and it's going to come up anyway, because it's underneath right. that inner child stuff. The past life stuff is going to come up. So you don't necessarily need a separate, like, activity and discipline to deal with it. At the same time, it can be really interesting. It can rock people to the core. All these past lives are not, I'll say there's some not a great, but there's some degree of risk in past life regression.
What is it?
One of the risks is that, one of the problems we have is that we identify with our physical body, right? And
mm-hmm.
then we identify with our personality, right? So those things are limited that are identifying with ourselves as source or as, you know, a higher self. When you do a past life, one of the things that happens is the person says, oh, that's really why I do this. So they re-identify with another body,
mm-hmm.
right? And so that's where it becomes kind of tricky, because they're like, okay, well, this is the explanation, and this is like the realer me, you know? And it's actually just a different version of you now, but it's not necessarily your higher self. So
right.
that's how it becomes tricky a little bit, because people can take, let's say they did something that was really kind of despicable in the past life. They can let that guilt bleed over into this life. I'm not seeing that. Where it's just like, no, wait. That's not what the point of this is. You know, but a lot of times, because they identify with themselves and they have judgment on themselves in this life, if they go into the past life and they take their judgment with them, the past life can start to make their views bleed over in a way that's not useful. I'll just say it's just not useful. Now, the other part of it is the past life energy can kind of not leave all the way, right? So that's a concern too. If you go into a past life regression and you tell the person to come back, but they are not totally coming back right away, and that past life energy kind of is still flowing, that's a concern, and that's something that we look to make sure that doesn't happen. So past life regression is great, but it's not part of the essential tools that I personally use. I do use it, but, when as needed.
Right. It's not necessary in order to remove blockages today, in order for us to be to reach our full potential or to be able to continuously create beautiful things without having those roadblocks.
Yeah, because you can dance it all the way, you can meditate it all the way. You don't necessarily gotta deal with it through that past life form.
Okay, so my next question is about digging into the past, because a lot of times when we're doing like the heart chakra, when my heart chakra opens and I was in this class with the heart chakra, some stuff from my past, that's how I found out about the abandonment stuff and all this other stuff. And so, memories came up from the past. But then some people would argue that, we don't need to look in the past. Don't even bring the past up. Don't even talk about the past. Don't look at the past. Don't think about the past. To focus on the future, focus on the present right now, focus on what we're creating, and don't look at the past. So what is your take on that?
If you're focusing on the future, you're focusing on the past. They are the same.
So simple.
Yeah, they're the same. Because the mind is not situated in the present, it's situated in the past. So everything in your mind is a collection of data from the past. It's like a memory bank from the past, right? So when you listen to your thoughts, they're all thinking about things that have happened in the past, and you project them into the future. You can do this. You could, case in point, look at anybody's New Year resolution list. All that is going to be is things that happened in the past that they want to happen, bad things they want to happen less, and good things they want to happen more, right? So
mm-hmm.
The future is just simply a collection of the past remixed to a way that you would like it, a more tasteful version of the past. So if a person says focus on the future and not focus on the past, they're saying focus on the same thing. Right now, if I say, what are you going to do next year? You're going to immediately imagine what you did this year, which is the past. And you're going to be like, oh, well, I'm going to do this different. I'm going to do this better. I'm going to compare it to something in the comparison. So I would say when people say focus on the present, that's fine. And I encourage people to focus on the present. I do not necessarily say that you have to. There are different methods, right? So some methods involve you just being present and allowing the energy to clear itself. So like the mind is holding these things in place because the mind is in the past. If you let go of the mind itself, the blockages will clear without you having to deal with them directly. So like we have like Yoga Nidra, for instance, as a tool, right? Where we take people into very deep meditation. They are not necessarily thinking about their blockages. They're just letting go of the mind. Because the mind holds the blockages in place, it's almost like the mind is like holding them all as like a bunch of balloons, right? And it's like if the mind lets go, they all start to just fade up and out without any effort. And so you don't necessarily have to focus on the past. You can just let go of the mind, right? And if you let go of the mind, the past goes with it, right? So that's one method. And another way, you can go directly into the trigger. You can go directly back into the first time you experienced this and allow it to come up, and you can process it from that way. And the reason why we say that is because even though you call it past, in a way, it's still present. Because energetically, that pattern is running right now, right? So
right.
If I say to you right now that thing from, that your mama called you, if your mama called you stupid when you were 4 years old, and I say it right now, that energy, that inner child is here. It's not in the past. And so that's why we can use that energy right now. And if we purge it and clear it right now, it will reintegrate that what we're calling from the past into the present, and it will become available to you. You'll become more whole. You'll get that energy back. That kind of fragment will come back to you.
So wait, this is interesting. So what you're suggesting is that through Yoga Nidra, our practice like that, we don't even have to acknowledge or even look at the blockage. It could just be removed, and we would never even know what it was that was there in the first place. My question about that is, though, once the mind comes back online, won't the blockage come back because it wasn't acknowledged, or does that just disappear?
That's a good question. Let me think about how to address that point. People find is that they have a more quiet mind. In other words, the files, the limiting beliefs and the negative self-talk is like the files have been deleted. They didn't delete them themselves, but it's like the roots have been burned and the actual emotions are just gone and they feel blank. A lot of times people complain, and I had a number of my like hardcore students complain earlier, like, yo, I feel like a part of me has been erased. I don't know what happened, but it's gone, you know? And it's because when you go into those super kind of deep meditative states, it's basically telling your hard drive, delete, just delete, 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 delete. Or another way of saying it is restore normal flow of energy. Restore harmonious internal. So what that does, if you're going to store the internal harmony to the mind, it's going to get that stuff out the way automatically. It's almost like you are, what I think about is like when you plug into those deep states, it's like you're doing a screensaver with God, and you let God come in and God starts fixing stuff for you. So you don't necessarily have to put in effort to do it. You can do it in an effortless way. That's also available, you know. So I try to use and give people a lot of different ways to do it, a lot of different tools to do it, but all of it works, right, at the end of the day.
That's so cool. Like, it is super duper cool to be able to just do the yoga nidra and then have those files be erased. And so, but like you said, there needs to be maintenance. Obviously, right? You can't just like go off and
not do one
words, and then it just is done forever. It's like one and done. Like, you have to continue to do maintenance, right?
Yes, and I don't want to say yes or no. I'll just say yes. You definitely have to stay in the flow. When there comes a point, and this is down the line, right, where you don't necessarily have to do formal practice in order to stay in the flow. But for the most part, because we live so much of our life in tension, we live so much of our life in fight or flight, we live so much of our life in reaction, it's going to benefit you to occasionally do some work. I recommend people do a daily ritual or daily discipline, right? So that's my recommendation, that you take at least half hour. If you're serious about it, take an hour a day and do your meditations, do your breathing techniques, do your yoga if you want to do yoga, you know, and actually get to clearing this stuff, right? So it can be a really powerful thing, especially if you do it as a daily discipline. That's where, to me, the magic happens. Like, and as you know, like, I have my class, it's just a few weeks, right? And it can change a person's life because they just dedicated themselves to it every day. If you did that for, you know, I've been doing it since 1999. If you did that for years and years and years and years and years, the impact that it has on your internal self, it just changes it to the point where it's just like, I feel like I've kind of been reincarnated in this lifetime. Like, I just jumped body. Like, I have a totally different body. You know what I'm saying? Like, it feels literally inside of me like I'm sitting in like a bucket of light or something. That's the best way to explain it. But that just comes from doing work so often, so much, helping people, staying in a love space, staying in a heart space, living in a blissful existence just consistently. And it's like, can that be a lifestyle? If you commit to making that a lifestyle, you'll just see profound energetic changes. And people don't even know that that's available, you know? Like, they would think that it's fleeting, you know?
Yeah, it's so true. Like, I didn't know about that until I started taking your meditation courses. After I took the Deepak Chopra and Oprah free 21-day meditation, immediately I found your course afterwards. And I must say that those exercises help. And I noticed a difference when I'm not doing my daily practice, the way that things run versus when I am doing my daily practice. When I'm not doing my daily practice, I have a tendency to have less patience with situations, people, places, and things, like, and then I get into this anxiety stuff, like, I get anxious. I know everything already works out. I know about the divinity within. I know about the light and the love from the heart emanating outwards. I feel it. I've experienced it. When I don't do my daily practice, though, I know, and then I get frustrated with myself, and I'm like, gentleness.
Yes.
Just meditate right now. Just stop. I'll meditate
that,
for 5 minutes at least in the moment.
And that right there, that is you having good cognition. That's you having, instead of having a limited belief, you have something that will help to harmonize you, something that will help to bring you to peace. And so that really makes all the difference in the world, because another person will take that and do nothing, and it will just store over the years. Or another person will take that and create a conflict with somebody else, right? And so that's that key at the mental level that you actually have when tension arises, you have resolution tools, right? So that's beautiful to see.
Too about this diet, really important in removing blockages and staying in a state of being that that is more harmonious.
Yes, 100%. Diet is important. We usually start with diet. The way my teacher taught, he kind of said, you know, everybody just, you know, fast one day a week and just wrestle with that. A lot of times you'll see people super gung-ho. I want to commit to the path. Oh, my God. What up, queen? And all that. And then you'd be like, so you need to change your diet. And then it just be like, you know.
Right.
People don't necessarily want to compromise their pleasure or what they think is pleasure. But what, in fact, you'll find is, just a little bit of fasting can create a situation to where you have a lot more of the energy flowing upward that's normally flowing downward, right? So that downward force is part of what causes a lot of the emotional spirals, the depression and sadness and all that stuff, and also the lack of willpower that people find because the energy can't make it past the third chakra. Basically, your stomach is like a wall where the energy can't go past. But when you fast, the energy can cycle back upwards very easily, and so then your mental awareness is heightened. You feel almost like you're high on the inside. And your heart also can open because the energy is now flowing up that way. So fasting is particularly useful. I don't necessarily, you know, people do super hardcore, like 40-day fast or 30-day fast. I don't necessarily get into that. But, you know, anywhere between a 3-7, maybe 10-day fast and, you know, raw food or fruit or something like that, I think is great for people that are serious about spiritual practice. As well as, you know, I'm vegan. I don't necessarily impose that on other people. But I say, you know, let go of meat for a little while and see how your body does with it. A lot of times people will notice that they're a lot less irritable, their body odor changes, that they're able to maintain peace a little easier. So drinking water, eating a little less meat or no meat, cutting down on that dairy, eliminating dairy are general tools that I recommend. If you want to go kind of more specific, you know, alkaline foods can help. There are, of course, herbs that can help with cleansing. We have certain things inside of us, so parasite cleanses, heavy metal cleanses, all that stuff is great.
That is very true. I can testify to that, too. Changing my diet changed my irritability level for sure, and I've seen the difference because back in college in 2007, I started eliminating things out of my diet until I was a full blown vegan. My grandmother got sick with cancer and asked me to move back home with her. So I left school and I dropped out of my minors. I finished my major, dropped out of my minors, went home, take care of my grandma. And when I was here home with her, her and my grandfather, they cooked meat. They ate meat. They were bomb. They could cook, let me tell you. And so I was like, you know, I'm living at home with my grandma. I'm not working. Like, I don't have the means to go grocery shopping. So I'm just going to eat what's here. I'm not going to stress myself out. And I started eating meat again. And my patience wore thin. I was more argumentative, more irritable. I had more nightmares. And things like that. And then I was like, dude, I noticed a difference. I was more sluggish. I had less energy.
Exactly.
And my stomach hurted. I had digestion issues. And so I remember how it felt to be vegan or to just, you know, eliminate a lot of that stuff out of my diet. And so I slowly started doing that again. And so now I started eating cleaner meat and took out, you know, red meat and then all this stuff. And then eventually I was like, in 2015, for my vision board, I wrote that by August, I wanted to be vegetarian. Then by the end of the first week in January, I was vegan because, you know, our minds are powerful, whatever you want. And I'm very extreme anyway. Like, I do stuff. I'll cut something out cold turkey, like nothing, to get a withdrawal symptom. So I definitely feel the difference. I can completely feel the difference, and I totally recommend that people get their diets right. It's so funny because a lot of people, like you said, they're like all for healing and this and that, and then you tell them, like, okay, you've got to change your diet. What's your diet like? I'm like, oh, well, I eat like this. You got to live. I'm like, but you're dying.
Yeah.
You're not living.
Yeah. So
yeah,
to me, that's where it's a self-love issue, you know. It's a self-love issue. It's all about love, and you can say you're going to be compassionate to the world, but then if you know what's the best fuel for your vehicle, why are you not putting it in there? And the only reason why is because you're addicted to pleasure. At one level, you're addicted to sugar. You know what I'm saying? You're addicted to feeling full. You're addicted to just your habits. You know, you're nervous about exploring unknown. You know, in terms of, I don't know what to eat in this. I don't know how to eat in this way and that sort of stuff. And so it's those things that really represent an energetic place for you. And if you want to move past that place into a place where your physical body can enjoy the same light that you want your spiritual self to enjoy, that's the holistic practice. I mean, you can't have one without the other. I mean, if you have, you know, if your physical body is totally shut down and totally blocked up, you're not going to have these amazing spiritual experiences all the time. It's just not going to happen because it's an integrated whole. They're not separate. You know what I'm saying? People try to make believe they're separate until their physical body starts shutting down. And then,
right.
They're like, please, God. Then they want to go to spirit and be like, please, help me.
Right.
It's like,
help me. Anything. But me, I won't do nothing.
Exactly.
True, that's how the physical body communicates, because they're, again, like you said, with that mindset, with that attitude, like, oh, I don't know what to eat, I don't know this, I don't know that, those are also blockages.
Yes, right.
Those are also blockages. So that's quite interesting. What about a person like that? If a person is like that when it comes to the food aspect, is it possible for them to remove the blockages without changing their diet?
That is a very interesting question. In general, I'll say yes, but I would say that the reason why it's possible is because
things are possible,
right? All things are possible, but because at the it's tricky, right? So in other words, there's layers to this thing, and even though the physical body is a real layer.
Mm-hmm.
And we think of the mind existing in the body. We think of the brain existing in the body, right? But
mm-hmm.
in reality, the mind exists. The body exists inside the mind, right? So that's
mm-hmm.
really the issue. So because the body exists inside the mind, if you learn how to make your mind totally and fully 110% relaxed all the time, the blockages will fall out of the physical body. Right. So in other words, like
mm-hmm.
if you go into deep meditation and you do that 3, 4, 5 times a day, you'll have no physical tension in your body. Even if you had physical tension in your body, even if you actually needed a massage, you won't need a massage after a while. It'll just fall out. Right. So that's
mm-hmm.
one of the tricky things, because it's an integrated system. You can fix one layer by dealing with another layer. I mean, if you go and you get super excited and you do ecstatic dance and you're chanting and all that stuff, you can, which is moving the physical body, you can go ahead and have a vision, right, which is a whole nother layer. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Or you can, you know, go and open your heart from that. So all the levels do integrate. You can. I just wouldn't recommend that. I think that that's an incomplete approach. There are a lot of people who say that. They'll be like, well, I know this shaman that eats ham and he, you know, does ayahuasca, so he's good, you know. And it's just like, yeah, but. You know, it's almost like there are people who are able to not study and get A's, right?
Right.
But it's just not the recommended approach.
It's not the recommended approach, and everybody's not built like that.
Yeah, and then there's consequences to that, too.
What are the consequences?
Exactly. Well, it's just, the physical body is still going to suffer. They just know how to – they just deal with energy at such a high level that they're able to bypass it to some extent. Not totally, but to some extent. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of like, you know, you got a Rolls Royce car, so you can put shitty fuel in it and it'll run for a while. You know what I'm saying? And that might not be a bad metaphor, because I don't know how Rolls Royce cars, they might run terribly on Shady Field. So any car people, don't tear me up about that. But you get what I'm saying. Like, the car may be built so well, their energy body may be functioning so well that they can transmute some of that lower. But imagine if they were putting top fuel in it. That's my only comment.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then now can you give some recommended crystals that we could use in order to clear up any blockages in any of our bodies?
Yeah, so crystals are a whole other side of this thing. So I do a lot of work with crystals. In general, there are crystals that are going to help to kind of balance you. And then there are other ones that are really intense that are going to kind of force you to open up, right? So there's different layers. So for the regular chakras, I kind of recommend working with black tourmaline for the earth chakra. It's great for removing negative energy. Probably my favorite stone in the world for removing negative energy and pain relief. For the second chakra, carnelian works. Moonstone is cool. For the third chakra, citrine works. Sunstone works. For the heart, rose quartz works. For the fifth chakra, lapis works. Lapis lazuli works, and celestite. And for the third eye, amethyst, quartz, and for the crown, amethyst and quartz kind of go back and forth. You can use them for both. Now, those are the regular stones, right? Those are the safe stones. Those are the stones.
You said lapis lazuli and what else?
And celestite. For the fifth chakra. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now here's the thing. Celestite isn't exactly a regular stone, but most of those stones are regular stones, meaning they're not necessarily high vibration stones. They're safe to use. They're not gonna cause anything crazy to happen for the most part. They're more about balancing and harmonizing you. And they're more like stones that hold the frequency of the chakra in some sort of useful and efficient way. So they're more like tune up stones. Now there's another set of stones that are just completely a different type of experience. And for those, you kind of need to be delicate and gentle with how you deal with them, because they can really blow your chakras open. They kind of blow the fuse, and not in a way that it would damage you, but like I just say, if your heart blows open, I mean, you might be crying for, 2 hours straight, and you didn't plan on doing that. You just thought you were going to get a necklace. You know what I'm saying? So you kind of got to be mindful of that if that's what you're interested in doing. So there's other stones. So, like, for instance, for the heart, petalite is one of those. It's really strong, and it can really kind of blow your heart open even if you don't want it to open. I use that sometimes.
You said petalite?
Yeah. I use that sometimes in my energy healing sessions. If a person just, like, doesn't want to open, I might just put a piece of petalite on their chest for a while. And, it'll get the job done.
Nice.
That's one. Yeah. Of course, moldavite is the famous really strong stone that can kind of break down blockages. Pretty expensive, though, but really, really strong, high vibration energy. Can kind of make you feel weird at first. It takes a while for it to integrate with your system. But, the whole high vibration stone thing is really interesting to me. One of the stones that I like to use for my Kundalini class, which is really cool, is called Fulgrite. It's like a lightning stone.
How do you spell
it? So it's like, don't make me lie to you. Fulgrite, I think. And so it's actually what happens when lightning hits sand. Right, when lightning hits sand, it forms a stone, and so they capture them. And when you use those stones, you can imagine it has its own electricity in it, and so it's really electric. When you hold it in my hand, it doesn't feel like nothing. I put it on my chakra, it feels like I just inserted like a whole voltage into my chakra. It's crazy, right? But yeah, those stones are the truth. So, there are certain stones that are really going to juice you up. And for those, I'll say, be careful, be responsible. I'm not going to go into all of them because I don't want people just hitting a whole bunch of stones and shocking themselves to hell.
Right. No, yeah. But how do you possibly use the stones? You just put them on your chakras or what? How do you possibly use the stones?
Responsibly use them? I mean, I would say just introduce them slowly to your system. If you're going to do meditation with them or something, you know, just hold them in your hands at first, or you can put them on, one of them on your chakra at first. Don't buy 10 of them and, you know, take a bath with it and all that, you know, at first. Just slowly but surely rev your energy into, yeah, and then you'll be able to tell, like, whoa, I'm way more fiery than I usually am, you know, so I need to slow this down. Or, you know, because the energy is working on you silently. It's not necessarily going to say, hey, I'm working now. It's just going to effortlessly bleed into your system, and you're going to just start to notice yourself, and you might not even notice it. You know, I had one sister, she was like, damn, you know how women keep the stone in their bra, that type shit, right? So she had the stone in her bra for like a week, and then she was like, man, I got in like 5 arguments this week. She's like, and then I realized, as I was saying that, I took the stone out of my bra, and I'm like, it's you. You caused these arguments. And I'm like, yeah, it's just you not noticing how your fire has revved up a lot, and you're just walking around with this stone like it's a good luck charm or something, you know?
Well, that's so interesting, too, because I know that they cause physical things, too, because when I started working with rose quartz and my heart chakra started opening, oh, my God, I thought I was having a heart attack. I was scared.
Oh, yeah.
Every time I took a breath, I felt pressure in my heart. I swear I thought I was going to die. I was so scared. I was sitting in my bed, and I was like, oh, my God, I need help. And then I remembered, oh, crap, I'm using a rose quartz. And that was a yoni egg, so I didn't know. I really had no clue. It was my first yoni egg. And I was just like, what the hell is going on with me? And then I asked the ladies, and they were like, oh, girl, that's nothing. You got a rose quartz. It works on your heart. I was like, I think I'm going to die. I don't know if I want to do this.
Yeah.
But I have to wait it out. But it works.
It's true. And for all the chakras, there's a different kind of form of pain that can happen as they're opening. That's not something that's often discussed, but it's definitely something that people should know about, because the reality is, you know, the spiritual world, there's love, there's bliss, but you got to go through some things to get to that.
Yes,
and,
you do.
You
know what I'm saying? You do.
So for that, you got to be a warrior about your discipline and just stay focused and have, you know, people around you that can help to guide you just in case it gets weird.
Well, hey, I appreciate you so much. Do you sell any of these stones? Can you provide these for us?
I have some stones on my Etsy shop, on the Yoga Etsy shop. I'm about to redo my site, so I'll probably put some new ones up. But yeah, I do sell quite a bit of the stones that I mentioned here. Definitely.
And then can you let us know, like, what it is that you have to offer us now and how we can get in contact with you in case we have any questions or want to take some of your courses?
Sure. So I do a lot of stuff. Let me try to remember everything. I have classes, online meditation classes. So I teach, I have a intro level meditation class that I teach. And my classes are year round too. And I teach an opening the heart chakra class, and then a Kundalini, awakening Kundalini class. That's the third level. And then I have an energy healing class I started this year. And I'm coming out with a sacred sexuality class this summer. And then I have retreats that I do. So I do a retreat with a brother by the name of Jason Harrison, great brother. We do a lot of work around the country, called the Healing the Heart Space Retreat. We just came from Chicago, actually, like a week and a half ago or so. And then we did D.C. before that, but we're coming out with a Healing the Heart Space Relationship Edition retreat, and that's going to be in Atlanta in June, July-ish. And we also do what we call the Vortex. The Vortex is wild. At least you got to experience the Vortex. The Vortex is so
great. I got to experience the Vortex. I know.
Yeah, we got to figure that out. But the Vortex is just such a high energy experience that people never get a chance to surrender to spirit for that long. It's like a 3-hour event, and it's just, you know, spirit takes over the room, right? And so everybody is just releasing in their different ways, and magic just happens. I mean, we've had everything from people turning psychic to exorcisms, or people going into orgasms, or people, you know, everybody in the room laughing and then crying all at the same time. It's so much stuff that happens, but it's just a magic. It's a magic, like, you got to experience it. There's no words that can share. It's like hanging out in a vortex is its own life, you know? So that's a beautiful experience. We got a new thing that we're about to bring to the table called the Shamanic Dance Rebirth. And that, I mean, it's going to be. We're about to do the first one coming up soon. And that is Shamanic Dance is a tool that we use to build harmony between men and women, and also to teach people how to use their masculine and feminine energy, both. Right? So that's beautiful. And as you use it, it really is a sensual dance that can really help to bring you to understand orgasmic living in a different way. I'll just describe it like that, right? So that's a really powerful thing that we're about to introduce in a second. I also do these retreats in Tallahassee. I did one this year called the Reascension Retreat. It was an honor of my teacher, Baba Kamal, and I'm going to do another one in the fall. So the Tallahassee retreats, I kind of do them in such a way that they're like a full, I consider them like a full experience. So like we do multiple days. So it's not just a weekend. It's like we have, you know, stuff on Thursday, other stuff on Friday, and then we had the retreat. And this time we'll probably have stuff on Wednesday too. So we're slowly but surely gradually making it to where it's like a week-long thing and not like just a weekend. Those are phenomenal experiences. But that's just a general layout of what I do. I also, of course, do past life regression, energy healing sessions. I use Kundalini energy in my energy healing sessions. So long distance or in person for any of that stuff. You know, so for anybody that wants to reach out, I'm available.
How do we find you?
Oh, so you can find me on Facebook. Jay English is my name on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram too, Anush Yoga. You can find me on my site, anushyoga.com, or through email, anushenglish101@yahoo.com.
I appreciate you so much, Honor. Thank you so very much. This was an amazing show. I'm happy. I know that people received what they needed, and I appreciate you, brother. And I can't wait to experience the vortex.
Yes. It was a pleasure meeting you. We met something fresh last year. We got to link up again.
Yeah, we do. I'm going to have to bring you and Jason out here so you guys can bring all those wonderful goodies to Los Angeles. We really, really, really need it. I know there are people who want it, but I just be so busy inside of myself that I'm like, I need to focus on really getting me in order and getting me good before I start pulling on everybody else to come and receive all of the healing and all of the stuff that I like to experience, you know? So,
right, I understand.
Words, so
I can't wait.
You have any last words for us before we go?
Everybody just find your peace, live from the heart space, and cultivate bliss life.
I say to that. Thank you.
Right.
Now it's time for our soul work for the week. So this is the centering thought for the week. I am a high vibrational being, neutralizing and raising the frequency wherever I am being. I am a high vibrational being, neutralizing and raising the frequency wherever I am being. I am a high vibrational being, neutralizing and raising the frequency wherever I am being. This soul work, for those of you who are new listeners, these are exercises. This is the work for our soul for the week. Not just for you guys, but for me too. This is what we all have to do, or all we can all do in order to help to elevate, advance, evolve our soul, to nourish our soul, to feed our soul in order so that we can grow. So I am a high vibrational being, neutralizing and raising the frequency wherever I am being. You can say that as your mantra in your meditation. You can say that as you walk down the street. You can make a song about it, write it in a poem. You can make it your mantra for the week. And so for this week, what we're going to do is we are going to practice meditation. It can be for 5 minutes a day. It can be for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour. You know where you are, and what level you're on. So then we're going to meditate. We're going to meditate with some of these stones. We were given stones for each of the chakras, You know, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like we should only focus on the balancing stones and not get into the ones that force you to open up unless you're ready to go there. So we got black tourmaline for the root. We got carnelian and moonstone for the sacral. We got citrine for the third chakra, the solar plexus. We have rose quartz for the heart. Lapis lazuli, our solastite for the throat. Amethyst and quartz for the third eye and for the crown. All right, so we're going to go ahead and we're going to meditate so that we can release all of these unwanted patterns. Not only are we going to meditate, we're going to incorporate yoga, and we're going to incorporate dance as well. So we should be moving our bodies this week, at least 5 minutes a day. Not asking for a lot, just a little bit. You don't have to break yourself. Just do what you can do, and let's see how we feel after a week. All right, I love you guys so much. Thank you guys for being here with me. Until next week, love, peace, and fairy dust. Enjoy.